So, welcome everyone. Good to see all of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So, I'm taking my picture. Okay. There. I'm still learning how to work with this.
Showing you that it's him.
I think our techie person here for Renee's work on this, as well as Paul, thank you both for helping us do this. We wouldn't be able to do this without you. And I like this morning, we were able to just fellowship and visit with one another. That was awesome. Thank you for joining in today. So like I said, this is kind of new for me. So this is... this may be the way we start doing things for a while until things go back to normal, if there is such a thing. And so, again, thank you for joining in the recording. There will be an audio recording. There will be a visual recording as well as what we're seeing today as a live, kind of a live stream. And so, can everybody hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're coming in loud. Yeah.
All right, yep. Good. Again, I want to say thanks to Teresa Burdick and her work. If you have any needs, contact her. Sandy West is willing to go to the grocery store for anyone. And so if you have any grocery items you need, let her know. And she will go to the store for you and pick those things up for you and bring them to you. That you should have. Did all of you receive a letter in the mail yesterday from the church?
Yeah.
All right. So the numbers are on that letter, and so you can call them if you have any needs whatsoever, or call the church, and I can relay that information to them. So when we decided to call this church Life Change, we really didn't understand the changes that were going to take place here in the next several years. But there's been a lot of changes over the last few weeks. And I really believe the Lord has placed us in a wonderful position to accomplish what he wants us to accomplish. And so I thank you for being a part of this. And I thank you for what God is going to do through us. If you have any suggestions to make what we're doing better, please don't hesitate to let us know that.
Right now I have a suggestion. If everyone would mute their pictures or phones, because every time you guys make a noise, the screen changes and we can't see Brad. So if we would all mute, then we wouldn't have our pictures out there. Then we could all just listen to Brad.
Mute them all or just... How do you do that?
So on the phone, there are three dots. If you click it, there'll be an option to mute or unmute.
I think I muted it.
No, you did it.
Oh, I didn't?
No. Okay.
So Anna did it. There you go, Didier. You did it now.
You did. Don't need it. Anita.
You're saying you do ours. It's
mine.
Oh, okay. Let me see. Now I can't hear anything.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all important. You won't be able to hear everybody else, but you'll hear Pastor Brad. There, I think everybody got it.
Oh.
See, you can see from the icon there.
Yeah.
But okay. You need to mute yourself, Jeannie.
I'm trying.
Well, hello, Peggy Jewel. Good to see you.
Oh, no.
What did you do?
It said call ended.
No,
you're still in.
You're still here yet.
Oh, it's not through my car anymore. That's what happened. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Jeannie, this is Tom. Could you please play quieter?
I couldn't hear you, Tom.
I said, could you please play quieter?
He said, could you please play quieter, Jeannie? I don't know what he meant by that. So why don't we just begin by having a prayer? I think our president and our governor are making the very best decisions they know how with the information they have. But they really need a lot of wisdom as they go forward with this. And so they definitely need our prayers as we continue. Also, we need to lift up those who are sick with this coronavirus. Jeannie texted me, and you probably, if you're part of the prayer team, she texted me. I received the text this morning that she has a sister in Arizona, and her husband both have the COVID-19 virus, but they are on their way to recovery, it seems. And so thank the Lord for that. But we do need to lift them up in prayer and others with those problems. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer and just voice our concerns to the Lord regarding that. Bob, would you unmute and pray for these concerns, please?
Oh, dear Lord, we come to you this morning and thank you that we can be a family, even if it is by wire, and we can be together. And we thank you for your love and concern. And I'm thankful that so many of our friends so far are safe and out of danger, but we pray for those that are in danger. We pray for those that are going through this experience of a disease that's brand new.
Yeah.
But it's not too big for you. So we ask you, Lord, to cover them with your love, with your protection. We continue to cover all of our friends and family with a hedge of protection, a shield. I got a picture of each of my friends that as I saw how the angel of the Lord went over Israel, that I felt like we could anoint our foreheads and our forearms with three drops of blood and that we would be covered. So I thank you, Lord, that you are continuing to show your power and your wisdom. And we just pray for those that are ill, that they would be well soon. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Bob. Next week, we're going to probably about 10:45, Tom and Renee, I don't know if Tom knows this yet, they're going to begin singing. And you guys can join in with the songs and just kind of begin to bring your offerings to the Lord in praise. I want to sing a song with you this morning. Hopefully you'll know it. It's a very simple chorus. If you don't, it's easy to pick up. It's praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In him will I trust. So that's the way it goes. Okay. So you can unmute and sing with me if you'd like, or if you don't want to hear anybody to hear you sing, you can keep muted and just sing to the Lord. Okay. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. Will I trust? Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In him will I trust. One more time.
Praise the name of Jesus. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer.
Praise the Lord.
Woo!
All right. So, since we're not meeting as a group, if you want to mail your, some people have been offering, asking me, what do I do with my offering? Just mail it into the church, which is 3500 Alder Lane, or you can even give online under lifechangefellowship.com. And so those are some opportunities, or you can swing by the church if you're in the area and drop it off. I want to share with you today about how to stay healthy in a very sick world. Okay. Hopefully you've got some paper or things you can take notes on, because later on in the message, I'm going to be asking you to do something. And so if you don't have those handy, then please get you a pencil and paper or notepad or something so that you can participate in the activity will take place a little later. Okay. So how to stay healthy. And I think this is important for all of us, how to stay healthy in a very sick world. It's probably not a surprise to you for me to tell you that we're living in a very sick world, not only regarding the coronavirus, but regarding the attitudes, actions, the sinful behaviors that take place throughout our world. And it's all over the world. It's not just in the United States. It's all over the world. China, Iran, Israel, Egypt, Lebanon, you name a place on the planet and there is a problem with sickness of sin. And so probably, and that part of the reason we're having the coronavirus is because we have not taken the necessary steps to keep God in the forefront of our lives, in the forefront of our nation, in the forefront of the world. And so it's not unusual for things like this to happen when we shove God out of the picture. So how do you remain healthy during a time when there's a sick world? A lot has been shared with you already via the internet, telephone, and other ways of communication, television, on how you're supposed to protect yourself and wash and that kind of thing. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on how to protect yourself physically. You kind of got a handle on that, I'm hoping. I would encourage you, and I'm encouraging myself, to, you know, stay active. Don't just sit around and do nothing. I think it's important that, you know, according to those who are in the know, that those who are physically healthy have a greater tolerance to this infection that's taking place. So I just want to encourage you to do some exercise. However, just doing, and there's a lot of emphasis on doing exercise. I mean, you can get on the YouTube and you can find out different ways to do exercise. And there's a lot of emphasis on keeping our body healthy. But I want to especially focus today on how to keep our soul and our spirit healthy. So that's primarily what we're going to be focusing on, because according to 1 Timothy 4:8 says physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. There are some benefits to doing exercises and keeping your body strong. There's a great deal of benefit to that. But the problem is that it doesn't really, that's not going to affect your eternal life. It will, it perhaps will protect you or affect your life here on this earth, but it's not going to do anything for your eternal life. So while physical endurance and exercise is good for a lot of things, it's really not good for godliness. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. And this exercise, there are going to be exercises that we're going to do to train ourselves in godliness and spiritual strength. There are a couple of people that I just want to call to your attention, and you're probably familiar with them, whose body is broken, but they are pretty great in regards to their spiritual health. You remember Johnny Erickson Tada, who as a teenager dove into a swimming pool. She hit her head on the bottom of the pool. She broke her neck. And from since that time, she has been paralyzed from her neck down. And she is, it's hard for me to talk to myself. And I don't know, it's kind of, all I see is my picture. So it's hard for me to talk to myself. So please bear with me as I struggle through this. But Johnny Erickson Tada became a spiritual giant in the kingdom of the Lord, not because she was physically healthy, but because she became spiritually healthy. And she began to, so if you know anything about her, she's able to paint, but she does it with her teeth. And she's a tremendous artist. She does a lot of things that I can't do, but the Lord has gifted her. She goes all over the world. She's an encourager. She shares Christ with a lot of different people. Another one is Nick Dujicic, who was born with no legs and no arms. And he is a painter, a swimmer, a skydiver. He's a motivational speaker. He goes all over the world sharing Christ with others and encouraging them. So regardless of where you are in your physical life, there are things you can do spiritually. And the reason they are set apart is because they are strong in soul and in spirit. So I want us to be strong in soul and spirit. So the first thing is we need mental strength. The mind is a part of our brain, of course, is responsible for reasoning, thinking, being creative, storing information, coming to conclusions, and decision making. And scripture says in Philippians 4:8, if you want to be strong mentally, there are certain things that you need to think about. Okay. And this is, he says, Paul says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue or if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. All of us have to battle negative thoughts that come into our minds, every single one of us, on a daily basis. And we can choose to receive those negative thoughts or reject them. If we think of our mind as being sort of like an airfield where planes are flying over, and every one of these planes are thoughts, and we probably have tens of thousands of thoughts every day. And these thoughts come in, and we can, if they come in and there are negative thoughts that come over, and we can decide whether or not we want that plane to land. We can be the control tower. And we can tell those thoughts, I don't want you in the name of Jesus. I'm going to begin to focus on the things of the Lord, I'm going to set my mind on him, and I'm going to begin to think about those things that are pure and lovely and wholesome and good and true and God-honoring. I'm going to do that. And we have that choice. And I want you to encourage you. A lot of you are at home alone. That's concerning to me. I mean, there's no one, unless you pick up the phone, unless somehow you get out and about, you really don't have any interaction with others. And it's critical that you don't allow these negative thoughts to begin to enter your mind, because your thoughts actually have a profound effect on your emotions. If you dwell on and think about and meditate on wholesome, godly, honorable, truth-filled things, what's going to happen is you are going to begin to feel happy. Dopamines from your brain are going to flush from your brain into your body, and you're going to begin feeling uplifted. And that's why you hear sermons or hear people say, you just need to praise the Lord. You just need to praise the Lord. You just need to praise the Lord. Because what happens is, when you get your focus off of those negative things and begin to focus on the things of the Lord and begin to praise him, begin to lift him up, begin to honor him, begin to glorify him, something happens in your brain that allows these wonderful feelings to flush into your body, and you lift yourself up. On the other hand, if you allow the negative things and begin to dwell on the negative thoughts, it will take you into despair, depression, and hopelessness. So it's vital for each of us to be mentally strong. If you do this, if you'll continue to think on the good things, it will lift you up mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Lift up the name of the Lord even during the difficult times, especially during the difficult times. Nehemiah 8:10 says, do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you don't have the joy of the Lord, you're not going to be strong physically. You're not going to be strong spiritually. You're not going to be strong mentally or emotionally. And so the only way to get the joy of the Lord is to begin to praise him and quit looking at yourself and all of the problems you're facing, and begin to look outward and think of other people and begin to help them. And again, get our minds off of ourselves and begin to look at others and help them. And scripture says that if you do that, that you will begin to receive the joy of the Lord. I'm sure you're familiar with that passage where Jesus is telling the parable, and he says to his servants, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Okay? So if you want to experience the joy of the Lord, one of the things you have to do is to get your heart and your mind off yourself and begin to focus on other people. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So, our emotions oftentimes drive our actions. And we make either good or bad decisions depending on our emotional state. Our emotional state is dependent upon our mental state. We're told to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So we make dozens of decisions every day. Some simple, some more complex. Some internet sources estimate that an adult makes about 35,000 conscious decisions every day. We make 226.7 decisions each day on just food alone, according to researchers at Cornell University. So God created us with the freedom and the ability to make choices. The choices you make will often determine the outcome of your life, okay? If we choose to eat a quart of ice cream a day, which is something I would love to do and be able to do. If we chose to do that, that would not be healthy choices for us. And in a like manner, and we realize that, we know that there are certain things we can't eat or it's going to affect us physically. It's the same thing mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. We can do, you can receive, intake a lot of negative things, and it's going to impact your spiritual life. It's going to impact your emotional life, and vice versa. If you receive and do a lot of intake of godly things and good things, it will impact you emotionally and it will impact you spiritually. And the Lord wants us to be spiritually strong. He wants us to be emotionally strong. So I mentioned a while ago a concern for members of our church and in our entire community, actually, who are unable to get out and about. And I have a concern for their welfare. I have a concern for some of our members who are alone, who are at home. Some of you, I see you, and you are watching today, and my concern and my prayer is for you primarily at this time, because you really have no one to interact with. And so I want to the National Institute of Aging says, social isolation and loneliness in older adults is associated with an increased risk for poor mental and physical health and increased mortality. There's an increased risk for early mortality in individuals experiencing social isolation compared to those who are not socially isolated. Okay, so this is a concern for me. I made mention last week that though social distancing seems to be necessary at the time, this is an insidious plan of the enemy to get people to not interact. God said it's not good for man to be alone. Okay? It's not good for man to be alone. Say that with me. It's not good for man to be alone. And so what are the plans are we going to come up with to make sure that the shut-ins, those who have nobody around them, those who can't get out of their house, what are the plans are we going to come up with to make sure they can connect and that we can connect with them? And that's where I want to stop just a moment. And that's where I wanted your paper and pencil, because I'm going to ask the Lord to reveal to you some things that we can do to help these individuals. So I'm going to pray, and I would like you to listen. And as you listen, sometimes thoughts or pictures or ideas may come to your mind, and I want you to just jot those things down, okay? And if, as they come to your mind, jot them down, and I want you to send them to my email address. And I would like to get on some of this, if I could. But we need the Lord's help. I don't want anybody to be at home and alone and suffer with loneliness. And I know that takes place. It's hard not to be alone and not suffer with loneliness. I know that. And some of you who are sitting watching today, as we're praying, there may be some things that come to your mind that would be of benefit to you that may not come to our mind. Okay, so please write those down, because we want to help you. We want to assist you. We want to encourage you during this time, because you are going to be the ones that are most vulnerable to, I think, the attacks from the enemy. And so we want to stand by you. We want to pray for you. And we want to assist you during this time. Okay, it's very important to me. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's ask him, what can we do for these who are the most vulnerable, okay? So just listen to the Lord as I pray. Father, I come before you today. Lord, I am concerned about the well-being of people in our church primarily, but also people in our community who are suffering, who are lonely, who need assistance, who need help. And Lord, some of the individuals don't want to bother anybody. And they say, you know, everything is good. Everything is fine. And the reason they say it is because they don't want to bother anybody. But Lord, we as brothers and sisters in Christ want to be bothered. We want to know what those needs are. And so I ask you, Father, during this time, that you would help us, give us ideas about how best to assist those who are members of our family who are needing help. Lord, would you just download that to us? And Lord, we thank you and praise you. Lord, you care about these individuals even more than we do, and we care tremendously. And Lord, I pray that you would place your concern, your care on our hearts for these individuals. And Lord, give us the ideas that's going to be most beneficial, not only for those in our church, but those outside our church. Lord, this is a wonderful opportunity for us to reach out to them. And God, there's a lot of people in fear. There's a lot of people in panic mode. There's a lot of, and Lord, we do need to be cautious. But Lord, we don't need to be fearful. And Lord, I thank you for the ideas that you're bringing to mind even now. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to put them into practice. In Jesus' name, amen. So I just, I can't get all of you on the screen at one time, but just as a show of hands, did anything come to mind as we were praying?
Yep.
Okay. Several of you, I'm kind of scrolling through. Keep your hands up. Okay. Thank you. Great. Thank you very much. I just want to let you know that there have been some that's already been calling. We've already been ministering to our church family, and I want to say a special thanks to each of you. It means a whole lot to me, and it means a whole lot to this church, this congregation, for the work that you're doing for them, and I want to thank you for that. All of us go through tests at times. And as we go through these tests, as we go through this test, it's important that you don't forget the lessons that you've learned in the past regarding the Father's love, regarding his faithfulness, regarding his promises, that he will never leave you or forsake you. And I want you to know that we as a church family will not leave you or forsake you. We're here to help you in any way we can. And I would submit to you that perhaps the things that you wrote on your paper are things that maybe the Lord is suggesting you do. But if those of you who are shut in and you know your needs, again, it's important for you, as is the rest of us, that we not cocoon ourselves, but we begin to reach out. Even maybe you don't know a lot of people, but you know one or two, reach out and encourage them. Reach out and help them. We can't forget what the Lord has done for us, even individually or as a church. We can't forget that. The children of Israel forgot. And because of what they forgot that the Lord and how the Lord had helped them, they began to be they began to experience some things that the Lord never intended for them. There's a passage of scripture. It's Psalm 106. I'm not going to read the whole psalm, but maybe you might want to do that for yourself. In Psalm 106, verses 10 through 15, scripture says this. It's kind of a looking back at what had taken place in Israel's life as they came out of Egypt. He says he saved them, talking about the Father, saved them from the hand of him who hated them. He redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. That's what he's done for each one of us. But then the waters covered their enemies. That was Israel's enemies, Egypt, the Egyptian army. There was not one of them left. Then they believed his words. They sang his praise. But soon they forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. So all the wonderful works that God had done for the children of Israel, scripture says they forgot all about it. They forgot his works. They forgot that he had brought them out of Egypt, brought them out of slavery, forgot about them taking them through the Red Sea and providing for them. They forgot all about God's wonderful works. And after they forgot, they did not wait any longer for the Lord's counsel. They began to make decisions based on their own intellect, based on their own wisdom, based on their own insight, rather than waiting for the Lord's counsel. Now, I want to encourage you that during this time throughout your life, the Lord has some marvelous counsel for you. But if you don't wait and hear from him, it's very likely that you're going to make some mistakes. And now is not the time to make mistakes. Now is the time to be connected to the Father in a way perhaps you've not been before. And so I want to encourage you, get alone with the Father, wait for his counsel, and move when he says move. Don't rush into any decision. I'm sure all of us have made mistakes by rushing and getting ahead of the Lord. I'm reminded of my friend over at Union Gospel Mission, Clint Sounds, and one of the things he would tell the guys and I would overhear is slow down, slow down, slow down. So we don't have to accomplish everything today, all right? So just slow down, get in your pace so that you can get to the end in a victorious way. The children of Israel allowed their emotions to drive them rather than allowing the Spirit of God to lead them. Scripture says they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness. This is what they would say, I don't care what the Lord says, this is what I want. This is what my flesh desires. My flesh desires better. My flesh desires more. My flesh desires different. My flesh desires bigger. My flesh desires all of this stuff. And that's what I want. And if you look at that passage of scripture in verse 15, he says, and the Lord gave them their request. The Lord answered their prayer. The Lord answered their prayer for more, better, greater, bigger, and they got what their flesh desired, but it sent leanness to their soul. And scripture says that they tested God. They were more anxious about satisfying the desires of their flesh than they were satisfying the Lord's desires for them. Then they tested God by their unbelief. They tested God by asking and going after these things. They tested God's grace. They tested his love. They tested his mercy. They tested his patience. And yet, God gave them what they desired. But there was a price to pay. And the price was that they got to a point where they could not receive the blessings of the Lord anymore. And so we can go after those things, and actually oftentimes we receive all of those things that our flesh desires, but it always comes at a cost. That word soul in verse 15, and gave them their request, but sent leanness to their soul. Some translations say a wasting disease. But that word in the Hebrew is nephesh, which is soul, and basically that means your essence, who you are. It's more than just your mind, will, and emotions. That's part of it. It's your being. It's who God created you to be. That's your nephesh. And so the Lord says God will give us the desires of our heart. And I want you, I want myself to desire the things of the Lord more than anything else that is to, that we can go after. The children of Israel got what they wanted, but they did not receive what God had for them. They settled for peanuts rather than the promises of God. So as I close today, it's very possible that there's some who are listening have settled for what the Lord has to offer. I'm sorry, settled for what the world has to offer rather than what God offers you. And as you have settled for that, you've realized that those things really don't satisfy. It's only Christ who can satisfy all of those longings in your heart. You've been trying to fill that loneliness. You've been trying to fill that void in your heart with a lot of different things, but you've discovered that it's very temporary. It doesn't last. Jesus is the only one who can meet that longing that you have and that desperate desire that's in your heart. And Scripture teaches us that if we turn from our sin, turn from the world's ways, and we invite Jesus into our heart, we place our faith in him, then he will allow us to become his children. His Holy Spirit will dwell in us. And he will give us the ability to think straight, to feel right, and to do the right things. Some of you have been trying to do things in your own strength, and you say, man, I'm not going to do that anymore. It's only Christ who can give you the power to be able to accomplish what you truly desire in your heart, and that's to be at peace with Him. That's to have joy in your heart. That's to have happiness in this life. And so if you need more information, and if I can help you in any way in regards to this, send me a text, send me an email, and I will be more than happy to explain with you or to you to a greater extent how to receive Christ. Many people receive Christ through praying a prayer similar to this. And if this is your heart's desire, I will lead you in a prayer and ask you to give your heart to Christ. But if you do that, please let me know that that's a decision that you've made. So pray after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I have tried to satisfy my inner longings with the things of this world. And I realize that you're the only one who can truly satisfy me. I ask you to forgive me for allowing these other things, these gods, take the place of you. I repent. I ask your forgiveness. I turn away from those things. And I turn to you, Lord Jesus, as my only hope. You died for me to take away my sin. You rose again to prove that you're the Son of God. And also to give me hope of eternal life. And so I place my life in your hands. I place my faith in you. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I give you lordship in my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, again, if that's a decision that you've made and you desire more information or but you've prayed that prayer, just let me know. I want to praise the Lord with you and just glorify Him. We're going to close now, but we're going to, if you want to unmute all those who are listening in and want to discuss, ask questions, then I'm here and everybody else is here. So that concludes our service. I love all of you.
We love you too.
Love you too,
Pastor.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Brad.
I think that was marvelous. Wonderful. Thank you, Pastor Brad.
Thank you, Pastor. You're
welcome. Thank you, Pastor.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
Good to see you, Debbie.
Thanks. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
Hello.
Hi, Debbie. I don't think you can.
Hi, Nancy.
Hey, Tom. I see a portion of Rick.
There he is.
Long time no see, Rick.
Hey, Rick.
We give Rick a bad time. Couldn't happen to a good guy.
Hey, Paul. You were going out of the Star Trek studios?
Oh, well, you know, this meeting is just out of this world.
There you go. That's funny.
I forgot to.
Jeannie, you better be watching the road.
Hey, guys.
Private got the key in. That's good.
All right. Well, I'm going to close unless anybody has any questions or anything. I'm gonna sign off.
Can we sing another song?
Thank you.
I'm sorry? Somebody said something about singing?
Yeah. Can you sing another song?
What would you like? How about
How great is our God?
How great is our God?
How great is our God?
Okay, I'm trying to find the key.
How great is our God? How great is his name? He's the only one, forever the same. He rolled back the waters from the mighty Red Sea. And he said, I'll never leave you. Put your trust in me. How great is his name. He's the only one. Forever the same. He rolled back the waters from the mighty Red Sea. And he said, I'll never leave you. Put your trust in me.
Good song. Woo! Was that the right one?
Morning, guys.
Morning.